It is August the 2nd, 2011. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of Gerwick.net, www.gerwick.net. And right now I have a special guest with me from Shimmer, and she wrestles independently all across the United States and Canada, Nicole Matthews. How are you doing tonight, Nicole?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. And the first thing up front, we appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
I guess for those that maybe are not familiar with you, and of course you do have a great following with Shimmer, and you definitely have your fan base, but for maybe the WWE TNA fans that are maybe not familiar with Nicole Matthews, who is Nicole Matthews, and how did you get started in professional wrestling?
Nicole Matthews is an independent wrestler based out of British Columbia in Canada. And I got my start in ECCW in British Columbia, and I trained under the Slam Academy, it was called, which my main trainers were Gorgeous Michelle Starr, Aaron Idle, and Scotty Mack. They were awesome trainers. That was a great experience. Had my first match against Rebecca Knox, and went from there. And, yeah, that's how I got started. People know me best from Shimmer. I'm one half of the Canadian Ninjas with Portia Perez, who you've had as a guest before.
Right.
And, yeah, we're pretty obnoxious, and no one really likes us, and that's who I am.
Oh, but we love you. And we like having you here, and, of course, we've done, as you said, a couple of interviews with Portia, and actually did a unnamed Portia Perez podcast, and I was just telling Nicole that somewhere down the line, maybe we can have both the ninjas on at the same time. I think that'd be really cool.
I don't know if you guys could handle the awesomeness of that, quite frankly.
Well, I'd be willing to give it a shot. You know? I may not come out ahead, but it's worth a shot.
Okay.
Talk a little about your training. How long did you train for? And one of the questions I always like to ask with training is, what was your family or your parents' reaction when you told them, hey, I think I'm going to give this professional wrestling thing a try.
I have been a wrestling fan since I was really young. My parents, I think they saw the writing on the wall when I was a teenager. They knew it was coming. So they weren't, like my mom especially, wasn't ecstatic about it. But they've always been supportive of everything I did. And I think as long as I was still going to school, they were fine with me wrestling. My brother, he's the one who actually got me into wrestling and started bringing me to independent shows, ECCW. And he at first was kind of against me training because he had heard pretty awful stories about how some of the girls were treated backstage. But eventually he came around.
And, of course, your brother is Josh Matthews from the WWE.
Yes, for sure. That's what Wikipedia says, so it must be true.
And while we're talking about Wikipedia information, let's clear this up. Mm-hmm. You're not from Boston, and you're not from Toronto.
No, I'm not from Boston nor Toronto. I've actually have never even been to those cities. I've passed through both them, but I've never stopped in either one of them. So no, those rumors are false.
So if you're a contributor to Wikipedia, if you edit articles or upload information, you may want to make note that she's born and raised in Western Canada, and that's where she wrestles from, correct?
Yes, exactly. The Vancouver area.
There you go. Before you got into wrestling, were you very athletic? Were you a cheerleader? Or did you get involved in sports in high school?
I was involved in sports. I was never anything close to a cheerleader. I was never nearly graceful enough to be one. I was a competitive swimmer for about 10 years. Competed just pretty much in the province. I was just shy of being a national level swimmer. And I played volleyball throughout high school. And actually, I really wanted to play for university team in that. But I wasn't tall enough. That's what I tell myself. It probably was just because I wasn't good enough. But I just tell myself I wasn't tall enough.
And then you went on to college.
Yeah, still going there because I never take a full class load. So I haven't gotten that certificate quite yet, but I'm getting there eventually.
You know, we've talked to a lot of wrestlers that go to school. They, you know, they work jobs outside of wrestling. They go to school, you know, full time. And I guess how do you really manage that? Because it's very time consuming. And obviously when you're on the road, you can't physically attend classes. And I know today there's a lot of universities that offer online classes. So, you know, how do you manage, you know, working, you know, outside of wrestling, and then also doing your education?
Sometimes it's a bit of a struggle to juggle all of them. Something is going to take a hit. Right now, I'm actually temporarily working full-time at a job because someone from my work was on mat leave who does the full-time, so I'm taking over for them until the end of August. So I wasn't really going to school, but I'm going back in September and doing all online courses, so I don't really have to worry about the attendance thing. But really, when I'm really into wrestling and traveling a lot, school, unfortunately, takes a bit of a hit. I'm not a straight-A student by any stretch of the imagination. I'm pretty mediocre. C's get degrees, I say.
Well, that's true.
It's true. No, hey, at the end of the day, when I have my Bachelor of Science Kinesiology degree, no one's going to ask me what I got in Kinesiology 205.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, I think I'll be okay on that one. They'll just see the degree, and hopefully that'll be enough.
Talk about the favorite wrestlers you've had in your, you know, being raised and watching professional wrestling, and then talk about is any of those favorite wrestlers, or is there a wrestler or wrestlers that have contributed to your ring style?
I would say probably Owen Hart contributes a lot to my ring style because I like the way he mixed character and entertainment with skill, because he was a fantastic wrestler, but you know, a lot of things that people remember about him is his sense of humor and his character and all that, so I think that's really awesome, and I try to do that. I had a huge Canadian bias growing up. I loved Owen and Bret Hart when I was younger, and as I got a little older, Edge and Christian, loved that tag team. Loved Chris Jericho. Admired Chris Benoit's work. And my odd duck favorite that I liked was Rob Van Dam, because I never seen it. I hadn't really watched ECW too much, so when he debuted in WWE in 2001, he was just so different from everyone that it really caught my attention. And female wise, pretty much only Molly Holly.
I tell you what, you named a lot of great wrestlers right there.
Yeah.
I also grew up, you know, I'm American, but, obviously I really enjoyed Bret Hart and Owen Hart. So when you said, you know, he's a big influence on your career, that's a good one to follow. I think Owen is obviously very tragic to what happened to him, but I think if you go back and really study his matches, he was very underrated, and it's too bad that he didn't achieve the success his brother had, because obviously I think when you look at his matches, I mean, technically he was one of the best, you know, ever, really. I mean, look at the matches, and always solid. He worked so hard in the ring. And so if you're parodying your, you know, your style after Owen Hart, that's a very good one to follow.
Yeah, I thought so too. Actually, the first Japanese match I ever saw was Owen Hart versus Jushin Liger. I think it's from 91 or 92. Someone sent it to me. Like, I forget who. Or maybe my brother downloaded it. I don't know. But I watched it. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I didn't know much about Japanese wrestling at that point. And, that kind of got the ball rolling on that one.
Well, that brings up another topic I was going to, discuss with you. Are you like a big student of wrestling? Do you like watching like older matches and kind of getting a feel for them, and maybe, you know, applying some of the things you've learned from it in your matches?
Yeah, I'm a huge wrestling fan still, even though I'm a wrestler. Like, I love watching wrestling. I love watching different styles of wrestling. I've come to appreciate kind of the British style a lot more as I've have trained and become a wrestler. Yeah, I like to watch, even though sometimes I don't always enjoy the product, I still catch WWE stuff pretty regularly. I might not catch it right at 6 or 9 p.m. on a Monday night or whatnot, but I'll catch it on YouTube later and see what's going on there. I like keeping current with the scene. and knowing what's going on. I really enjoy watching Shikara and PWG and ROH and all those independent companies, Dragon Gate, Evolve. Those are more interesting to me just because I really like the way, I don't know, I feel like people have more artistic license in those environments. So I like watching that too. It's a good juxtaposition from WWE, I find.
Yeah, you lead me into another topic. Oh. I was going to bring up was, the current wrestling products, and you were mentioning, WWE and, Raw comes on at, you either get the live feed or the Eastern feed, and do you get a chance to watch like TNA, and does it show up in Western Canada?
Oh yeah, TNA. We have Spike TV, but okay. I don't watch TNA. I don't know. I try sometimes. It doesn't really appeal to me. I don't want to badmouth the whole company or anything, but I really don't enjoy their product too much.
Well, you're not alone, because I tell you, as a journalist of professional wrestling, I've watched it for a long time. I just think they have a product or a style that doesn't just appeal to the masses, and they just don't want to change from. I mean, they've pretty much run the same way, the business model, for so long, and they're just not clicking. You know, they have the same ratings, they have the same viewership, they have, they draw about the same number to house shows, and it just doesn't seem like they're really getting over.
Yeah.
With wrestling fans. I don't know. When you watch TNA, is there anything that, is it just the storylines? Is it the wrestling? What is it about TNA doesn't appeal to you?
I don't know. I think there's some really talented wrestlers there. I don't know if it's a talent issue, but I'll just take the knockouts division, for example, because I really used to enjoy watching the TNA women's division. I thought they were really talented, and they had a good thing going there for a bit. But, like, when did I tune in? I don't know. A few weeks ago, I think I checked out TNA for a bit because one of my friends had it on their PVR or TiVo or whatever. And I just watched a promo, and it was like, listen here, slut. Come on, bitch. Like, it was just, they were trying to be, like, so opposite of WWE for the sake of being opposite. Like, it didn't come across as natural. It came across as really, like, skeezy, I thought. And, like, I'm sure those girls aren't skeezy or anything like that. But, like, just the promos they were cutting and, like, how they were presenting themselves. Like, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it very much. And, yeah, and it's not. And I didn't think, like, the in-ring stuff really made up for it. Like, you have some girls there who aren't really well-trained. Or, sorry, maybe that's a bad way to put it. They're not really trained, really. Like, what's that brunette's name with glasses?
Oh, Miss Tessemacher?
Yeah, like, she's not a wrestler. And, like, just kind of watching her in the rings, a little embarrassing, you know? So, I don't, yeah, it just didn't appeal to me. And that's just, like, going by the girls' division, you know? I can kind of probably talk about the guys a little, too, just how it's just a bunch of older.
I think you made some good points there. That's kind of the sense that a lot of people get. It just seems contrived, and they're trying to be.
Yeah, they're trying to be
what WWE used to be, I guess.
Yeah, and it comes across, like, I mean, you know, maybe if I watch Attitude WWE, I'd say the same thing, you know? Like, maybe I'd think it's too contrived, but it just, and I don't know. It just seems like they're trying too hard, and I don't think it looks good on anyone, and I don't think it really appeals to anyone. Other than maybe a very niche audience, and they have that audience already, you know? So why aren't they trying to get a bigger audience? I don't know. I don't run a company. What do I know?
But you make good points there, because I think, you know, with the women's division, the knockouts, they, as you said before, you used to like to watch the knockouts, you know, going back to Gail Kim and Awesome Kong and some of the divas or knockouts they used to have. And I think since Dutch Mantel has left that company, because he was one that was, you know, involved with or really booking the women's division. And now that he's gone and you've lost Gail and you've lost Kong, you know, went to WWE, that it's not the same anymore. And as you said, there are, you know, women on their show that are not up to par, I guess, necessarily in the ring. And it definitely comes across as obviously kind of lackluster to where they once were with the Knockouts.
It's true, and it's a little sad because, you know, there was a time where it was clear that the TNA girls, you know, that division was a lot more dense and talented than the WWE female division. But now, like, I don't know. I think I'd rather watch the females in I think I'd rather watch the Divas wrestle than the Knockouts, just because I know they're not going to be calling each other sluts, like, during the match.
Who's your current favorite WWE diva?
Ooh, Natalia or Beth or Gail Kim. There's like a few really good ones. Let me think about that. Gail Kim. I'll say Gail Kim.
Okay.
Those three I mentioned, though, Beth and Natalia, are also like uber talented.
Yeah, good choices in all of them right there.
Thank you.
Of course, mentioned ECCW, and that's where I believe you had a chance to wrestle Natalia.
Yes, I did. I wrestled her there in a three-way with Veronica Vice, who I trained with and debuted with. Wrestled there in a three-way, won the title from her because she was going to WWE soon. She had our girls division, or our girl title at the time. And then about a month later, I got to go to Calgary and Edmonton and do a double shot against her there and her in Stampede and PWA, the two promotions out there. Well, Stampede doesn't really exist anymore, I don't think. But PWA is still going strong. But I got to work her a few times, and each time was an awesome experience. Is very knowledgeable, obviously. She super helpful, did not have to be that helpful and nice to me, and she was. And she, like, even during the match, you know, I was heel at the time and she was face. And, you know, usually the greener girl plays is a face, right, so that she can get carried. But, she's not going to get booed in Calgary, obviously. So I was in heel, and she'd be talking to me while I'm beating her up. She'd be like, yeah, good job. Okay, now do this. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, she was awesome. And, it was cool to talk to her. And I saw her again a couple summers ago. Her, TJ, and Harry, they were in town for a big Calgary show there on vacation. And she was as nice as ever. Like, fame has not changed her at all, which I think is super awesome.
Yeah, she's a great girl. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, did you ever get a chance to meet her legendary father?
No, I haven't. Never.
Okay. And being in Western Canada, have you ever met any of the Harts?
I have. Well, I briefly met Bret Hart at Cauliflower Alley in Las Vegas, but I don't think that's quite what you mean. I've met a few of them. Sorry, I'm just kind of blanking right now. I've met TJ, or Tyson Kidd. I've met Harry. I met Diane Hart. Ross, yes, thank you. Oh, it was so nice to meet and so awesome and super helpful. Like, I cannot say enough nice things about Ross Hart.
At this point in your career, you've been in wrestling for about 5 years. What do you consider your biggest strength?
I think my biggest strength is that I think I'm pretty good at reading a crowd. I think I know when it's appropriate to emphasize, like, being more of a character or being more of a wrestler. Like, I think I'm good at knowing when the time is right. Like, Nicole Matthews in ECCW isn't really quite the same as Nicole Matthews in Shimmer, because those are two different audiences, if that makes sense. I think I've become pretty good at that. And, you know, it's a different experience because working at Shimmer, like, that locker room is so full of knowledge and experience and talent. And, you know, a lot of the times I'm the wide-eyed young kid looking up to who I'm wrestling and being like, oh, my goodness, like, this is – I'm so nervous right now. And, like, when I'm wrestling Hamada or, like, Melissa or Hirahara or, like, anyone – like, I just get really nervous, and it's like I'm the green kid, you know? And while, like, at ECCW, I'm the most experienced girl here by quite a bit. So it's kind of a different experience. So I feel like I can adapt to both those, though. So I think that's my biggest strength.
Yeah, in fact, I saw a promo where you're saying that you carried the division the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's totally true. Rebecca Knox has something to do with it. Or Natalia, or Veronica, or Tennille. No one, just me. All me.
All you. I guess on the flip side, you're talking about your strengths. What do you consider your biggest weakness at this point?
I'm not really good at the femininity thing, which I think is important if you're a female wrestler, because I think it's good. I think there should be a difference between guy wrestlers and girl wrestlers, because there should be There should be a reason why people want to watch female wrestling, and we should be different from the guys. And I have a really hard time being feminine in the ring. And I look like a jackass when I do it, quite frankly. When I turned face in ECCW for a bit, I was trying to be more feminine, and I don't think anyone noticed. And I think I just came across as really awkward. So that's something like I could work on, that type of thing, to just presenting myself. But, you know, I say that, but on the other hand, if I did, maybe it would take away from my character. So it's a balancing act you kind of have to do.
Now, you, of course, have wrestled on shows where it's male wrestling and female wrestling, and, of course, you've been with Shimmer where it's all female wrestling and other organizations that have all female wrestling. What's the perception from the fans from, you know, a female standpoint? Because obviously with the Attitude Era, it was more on seeing skin, I guess you would say, whereas today, obviously, we're seeing a lot more on the athletic aspects of female wrestling. From your perspective, do you think fans want to see eye candy, or is it wrestling, or is it kind of a combination of both?
I think that people just want to be entertained. I don't think necessarily you have to have a certain look. I don't think you have to be the best wrestler in the world. I think you just need to have the ability to keep people's interest and to grab their attention. And I think that's a really big problem in WWE right now, actually. Like, you know, a lot of their females, you know, they were models kind of picked out from a catalog. And I'm not saying that doesn't work necessarily, and they're all very pretty, but you need a character. Like, I'm not saying they have to be Sarah Del Rey in there, which it would be cool if they all were like Sarah Del Rey and that awesome at wrestling. But I think a lot of them lack having a character and having something that people care about. And I don't know if that's just a problem with the females in WWE. That I think that's a problem with some others as well. There's just nothing to grab a hold of. It doesn't grab the audience attention, I don't think. And I would say call. But obviously, being good at wrestling, I think you have to have something in the ring, some substance in the ring too. But on a WWE level, I would say the main thing is having something that grabs the audience attention. On an indie level, I think wrestling, it's more about wrestling, if that makes sense.
You know, every time we talk female wrestling, either through, you know, podcast or if we interview a female wrestler, Sarah Del Rey's name always comes up. And, of course, we just interviewed Sarah a couple months ago. And, you know, I've watched her for a long time, a lot of her matches, and how is she not in WWE?
God, don't even ask me. I have no idea. There's a reason why her name comes up all the time. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to face her one day in the ring. I haven't yet, which is awful. I was supposed to one time, but it didn't work out. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that, she's awesome. Like, she's not just, like, the best female wrestler in North America. She has a great character. She understands that part of it. Her facial expressions in ring are awesome. She has a good look. I have no idea why she wouldn't be in WWE right now. And and she wants to be, from what I, you know, that's her goal from what I understand. And I think it's silly that she's not. I think the best the best wrestlers and the best entertainers should be in WWE.
No, another female wrestler that is awesome, of course, is Portia Perez.
Of course.
Of course. And I guess, what's it like working with Portia?
She's awesome to work with. We have really good chemistry together. We met for the first time at the Shimmer taping we first teamed up at. That was the first time we've ever met, and I don't know how Dave Prazak would know that we would have good chemistry, but hey, like, it worked. We clicked right away, and we have in real life, we have very similar personalities. We have really similar senses of humor. And, she is so knowledgeable with wrestling. And actually, being partners with her is really, it's really changed the way I kind of look at wrestling sometimes. If she's very character-based. And before, I was more about moves, and what can I do that's impressive in the ring. But, I've learned from her a little more that the thing I was talking about before, like having that character that people care about, having something people can grab onto, having the audience in the palm of your hand, how that's, you know, that's as important, if not more important, than having, you know, great moves or being the most athletic in the ring. So as funny as it sounds, since we're the exact same age, she's been in wrestling a bit longer, so I don't feel so silly for saying it, but I've learned a lot from her.
Yeah, and I've only, this is the first time I've actually talked to Nicole, but, you know, in talking to Portia a few times, you definitely seem like you would connect well because you do have similar personalities, and I could see where, you know, where Dave would have put you together. I mean, he probably knew both of you very well and said, hey, you know, these two might work out real well.
See, I don't know. He didn't really know me that well at the time, though. I think he just got lucky.
Don't want to give him too much credit.
Yeah, he doesn't need the ego boost that Prazak. Don't tell him I said that because I still want a job. But we joke that we were just put together because we're both Canadian. We both look much younger than our actual ages. We both look like 17.
So who came up with ninjas?
We both did in Vancouver, actually. She came up for, we had a girl show, an all-girl show, and they flew her over. And in the locker room one time, we thought it'd be funny to have a name that stood for something, like an acronym, you know, that was the real word or whatnot. And ninjas are awesome. So we thought of ninjas, and we had an acronym to it. It was National International Nation of Jalapeno Awesomeness. That didn't really take off, that part of it, but Canadian Ninja stuck. And we actually had a promo where we like had a bulletin announcement about it, but that's been lost. I don't know where it went. That'd be pretty sweet though to show one day to everyone.
Well, it's out there in cyber world somewhere, I'm sure.
No, you know what? Actually, the people who taped that show, like, they never like gave the company the tapes or something. It was a messed up situation. I have no idea. But I hate, because I think that was a great promo. I don't even want to see the wrestling from that show. I just want to see that promo, quite frankly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Through the wrestling.
I mean, today, like, everything is taped anymore. I mean, all those local independent shows are always taped, so that's it's amazing.
ECCW is one of those little independent shows that's always taped. Yeah, we have tapes of everything now.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we've been following ECCW for a long time because they've been, you know, part of the NWA for years now. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I always forget about the association for some reason. I really shouldn't. We have the NWA Canadian champion in our roster, so, and the NWA Junior Canadian champion. So I should remember we're part of the NWA, but I always forget.
Well, it's probably like you didn't grow up with the NWA era. You know, when I was a kid, NWA wrestling was really huge because, you know, Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and all these guys were the, you know, Harley Race and Dory Funk Jr. These guys were the NWA champions. And now I see, you know, Adam Pearce just won the title back, but the title obviously is not on a national scale anymore. And it's just not as recognized as it once was as a prominent organization.
Yeah, it's just kind of another independent.
Yeah, which is kind of sad because, you know, obviously I watch NWA in the heyday, so. That's the way it goes sometimes. But I think I know the answer to this one, but I'll ask anyways.
Okay.
Do you prefer to be a babyface or a heel?
Oh, God, a heel. I am the worst babyface ever. I'm really bad at it. I tried for a bit when I was a babyface in ECCW, just because me and Veronica, we had debuted together. And while girls had come and gone, it had been the two of us for 3 years at that point straight. And she was always the baby face, and I was always the heel. So we decided to switch it up, and we did, like, a double turn, which was a really good double turn. And that was, yeah, I just am not a natural baby face, and I don't know what it is. I'm just not. Some people are natural baby faces, and some people aren't. I was doing an intergender feud at the time. It was me, Kenny Lush, and Billy Suede versus this group called Egos and Icons, and they were all, like, kind of young guys just starting up sort of thing. And seriously, my babyface work with me kicking guys really hard and hoping the fans would cheer for it. It was, and they did, because who doesn't like to see a girl kick a guy really hard? But it was nothing to do with my babyface charisma, that was for sure.
Probably the guy getting kicked.
Yeah, poor guy. He deserves it. That's my theory. He had a stupid haircut at the time. Nick Price, if you're listening to this, I'm talking to you, buddy.
Because, you know, I've talked to Porsche a few times, and I think she enjoys kicking people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We both share that quality.
Now, one thing I, you know, in looking up your, you know, some of your background information and going back to the heyday of ECCW is that you competed in a TLC match.
Yeah, it was actually the culmination of that feud I was just talking about.
Now, what was it? Was it like to, you know, really get in there with the TLC?
It was really fun. I would probably not do it again, but it was. I had a really fun time because all those guys in that match were my friends, and like three of them are really close friends of mine actually, and like we always hang out on weekends and stuff like that. So it was really fun. It was fun just to get in there with your friends, right? I did a balcony dive at one point where I had like five big guys catching me, so I wasn't worried, you know, like they weren't going to drop me. And I went through a table. Well, actually, funny story about that table, though. So we had four tables, I think, four or five tables, and two of them were like those kind of Japanese tables, you know, like those really hard ones that don't break. Do you ever watch Watchamania?
yeah. Uh-huh. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. We had two of those, and then we had like three that were super flimsy and would break, whatever. And I was gonna go through one of the flimsy ones because, you know, obviously I'm the lightest one in the match. I'm 140 pounds, so. And I was teasing with the guy I was with. I'm like, oh, I'll just put you on the table and tease it. And I was like, getting him on it, but it broke right when he sat on it. Because it was so flimsy. And I was like, oh my god, shoot. So then someone else in the match like brought another table over, and it was one of the hard tables, and I had to go through that because of my own stupid mistake. So I paid for that one. That hurt.
What's the difference really in working wrestling men versus wrestling women?
It kind of depends. You know, I can't really generalize it because guys... There are a few different categories of guys when you're working them. Like, some guys are really uncomfortable working females. And, like, I understand that. Like, okay, well, there's a few categories. One category is, like, the super sexist guy who doesn't, like, want to make a female look strong. And I don't respect that because it's, like, fake. It's fake, you know, come on. It's for entertainment, right? Like, put your ego aside. But there's another category. You know, they've grown up being told not to hit a girl, so they're not too comfortable doing that, which I understand. And then there's some guys who are a little smaller who, you know, you can have more of an even match with. And then there's some guys who they're just going to beat you up because they're too big and just not realistic for you to have an even match with them. So, like, it's interesting. I like working guys. It's a different challenge. Yeah, you have to really think about it when you work that. Like, they're stronger, so they base for you a lot better. So you kind of have to be weary of that when you're facing girls again, because they're not strong as guys. So, yeah, I guess their strength would be the biggest difference, strength and size. For the most part, I've faced some scrawny guys that are smaller than girls I faced.
Going back to your parents and your family, do they come to the matches? Do they watch you wrestle?
My parents have seen me wrestle about three times. They don't mind watching the DVDs. Like, my mom doesn't want... My dad doesn't mind watching at all. But my mom, she gets worried that I'll get hurt or whatever. So she'll watch the DVDs because she knows I'm okay after the match. But she's come a few times to watch live. She gets pretty nervous, though. And she gets nervous watching everyone because she knows a few of the wrestlers now because they're my friends. And she gets nervous watching everyone she knows in the ring. So it's a pretty nerve-wracking experience for her. So it's probably for the best. She doesn't come too often.
Yeah, that might be the safer way to go, is to watch you on tape. You know, she doesn't get hurt in this match. I can watch this match.
Yeah, I still have to be careful what matches I show her, though. Like, I can't show her me versus cheerleader Melissa. Because she'll be like, because, you know, cheerleader Melissa's finisher is the cop killer. And the vertebraker. I'm sure it's called other names, too. But, you know, like it's a safe move to take, but it doesn't look safe. So I think my mom would have a heart attack if she saw that match just because of that finish. So I haven't shown her that one, even though it's one of my favorite matches. But I have to be careful when I show my mom.
You were going back. We were talking about, like, goals in wrestling. Obviously, it's, you know, when you're independent, it's to get to the bigger federations. It's to get to TNA or WWE. Is that kind of – you're studying outside of wrestling. You're you know, going to college. But is that kind of your goal to get eventually to WWE or TNA?
I would like to go to WWE eventually if the circumstances are right. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm not really one of those wrestlers who's going to drop everything and sacrifice my whole life to get into WWE, because I like wrestling and I like being independent in that way. Like, I like having the creative license to do whatever I want. But, like, I would love to show my work to a bigger audience on the other hand. So it's something I kind of struggle with, that, nope. That, balance. TNA is not really anything I'm interested in at this point.
Yes, I know when we talked to Portia, obviously she's kind of had a, I guess, a sniff with TNA. She had a tryout. Have you ever talked to WWE, TNA? Have they ever reached out to you to say, you know, come on and work for us in a tryout situation? Or
WWE, I don't even think they know the name Nicole Matthews. So no on that one.
John Laurinaitis should, because he is the talent director up there, so.
Well, I'm not in a bikini catalog, so I don't think.
That's probably true.
Unfortunately,
that's right.
I don't look like I can be in Playboy or whatever standard they have.
Well, I don't know about that, but but you know, maybe, you know, going back to like Sarah Del Rey, you know, maybe that's the reason they don't want her, because you know she's not the typical model they find in a swimwear catalog,
which is so stupid. Like,
yeah.
Come on. It's not about fitting a look. I think that's ridiculous. It's, even if you look at the guys' division, it's like, well, what if you had said that about CM Punk? Then we wouldn't be getting what we're getting right now with him and all these great promos because he doesn't look like John Cena. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think people need to look different. Talent comes in all different shapes and forms.
I mean, like, for the swimwear models they brought in, I mean, you got, like, Alicia Fox and Kelly, and, you know, no disrespect to those two, but they're not, like, the top-of-the-line professional wrestlers.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know?
It's, like, I get the point of having a Kelly, like, so, you know, the blonde Barbie girl, but you can't have too many of them. Like, I just don't really know what the difference between Alicia Fox and the Bella Twins and Kelly are. They all seem like the same wrestler. They just look slightly different.
Did you see the Battle Royal last night on Raw?
I actually did catch that. Yeah.
I mean, they're like they're all in this match, and nobody knows who's who, and they're just flipping them out, and it's didn't like mean anything.
No. Yeah, I like the finish. That's good. Beth Phoenix is pretty awesome. I'll say that about that match. I like Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, I do too. Working internationally, have you worked much internationally, and is there a certain destination you look forward to wrestling someday?
Well, I am going to Australia in September. September 3rd, I think, is the show. It's at PWWA, which is a promotion ran by Madison Eagles. It's going to be a pretty awesome show. Madison Eagles will be there, Jesse McKay, me. We're doing a triple threat for the Shimmer title. In the main event, and that's the first time the Shimmer Championship's been defended outside the States, I believe. So, like, that's pretty cool. Looking forward to that. First time I got a shot at the Shimmer title, so that's pretty exciting.
Awesome. We wish you the best of luck with that one.
Yeah, and, yeah, there's a lot of... Kelly Skater will be on that show, too, so that's another familiar name. And, no, it looks to be a pretty solid card. Yeah, check out the website. Don't know exactly what it is, but I know the promotion is called PWWA, so I'm sure if you Googled it, it'll come up. And, yeah, that's all that's for sure coming up. I would love, there's a couple stuff that's in talks right now, but I won't say it until it's confirmed sort of thing. I'm one of those people who really likes stuff to be confirmed before I announce it, because I've seen too many people get burned for not doing that, right? But,
sure.
Japan is definitely the biggest goal internationally for me.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx them. In fact, we just talked to Serena from formerly of WWE, and she just got back from working a Smash show tour.
Oh,
so.
Sorry. Serena is awesome.
Yeah.
Serena Deeb. I understood why she was a heel in WWE. I understood the role, and she did very well in it. But she is, like, the best female babyface I've ever seen. I love her. I love her work.
Yeah, she is. She's awesome. We enjoyed talking to her. We just had her a couple weeks ago. So we definitely will look forward to talking to her again somewhere down the line. And I guess, you know, we were talking about, like, dream opponents, and you were talking, you never actually worked with Sarah Del Rey. Is there anybody other than Sarah Del Rey? It's like, I got to work this woman somewhere down the line.
Sarah Del Rey is the main one right now. I've worked Serena in tag matches. I would really like to work with her singles match. I think we'd have a really good match. And that doesn't look to be too out of the realm of possibility since her and Portia are feuding right now in Shimmer. So, you know, hopefully that could work. I would love to work Amazing Kong one day. You know, fortunately for her, unfortunately for me, she's in WWE right now and is out right now. But that would be I think we would have an awesome match. I'm sure there's other females. Let me think.
You'd have an awesome match because she's awesome Kong.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Amazing. She's amazing.
The question would be who would be the babyface in that match?
Oh, God, I don't know. She would. That would be so annoying. Everyone will want to see her beat me up. That's what I see in my head, at least. And looking at the WWE girls, I'd like to work Gail Kim and Beth Phoenix. Those are two girls I've never crossed paths with at all, actually. I've never met them or anything. So that would be cool to work them one day, if the time comes.
Is there any, like, TNA knockout that would catch your eye?
Of the current girls? Well, I've faced Angel before. Sorry, Angelina, so... Sorry, I'm just trying to think who's on their roster.
Probably Tara.
Oh, okay, yeah, Mickey James I'd like to face as well. And Tara / Victoria, whatever. Tara, that's where she goes by, right? Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh. Those two, like, they're really talented. I'd like to... That'd be cool to work them one day, too. I can't really think of anyone else. I've worked more girls in TNA than I've worked girls in WWE, just because, you know, they do independent shows still too.
Right.
So, like, I've worked Sarah Stock and that was amazing. I'd like to work her again.
How about Tracy Brooks?
Is she still wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's still
okay.
Around.
I thought she had retired or she came back. She's back in TNA right now, right?
She's currently, I believe she's, yeah, currently still with TNA. Well, you're right. She did take a long hiatus, but, you know, her and ODB kind of, like, float back and forth out of the company, so.
Oh, okay. I like working new people.
I just thought Tracy, because she's Canadian, too.
Yeah, that'd be probably more realistic than the people I've been saying. She's real Canadian, right? Yeah, I like working new people. I'm not against working anyone, that's for sure. I like challenges. I like working new people.
Cool. What's been the biggest or highest profile match, and like, what was the biggest crowd, you know, crowd size you worked in front of?
Probably the biggest those would be two different answers for me, I think. But probably the biggest profile would be Ayako Hamada. Worked her at Shimmer, volume 35, I want to say. I might be wrong.
Cheap plug.
Yeah, by the DVDs, Shimmer Wrestling.
That's right, Dave Prazak, another plug for you, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dave. You're welcome.
We seem to do that a lot when we talk to Portia, because, you know, we plug the other DVDs. So I was like, we should be getting paid. We're plugging all these DVDs, yeah. You know, we're putting them over. We should get like a paycheck or something out of the deal.
I agree. I demand royalties.
Next time you talk to Dave, you know, we're getting free plugs here on Gerwig.net. So
exactly.
Hook us up.
By multiple wrestlers, it sounds like.
That's right.
yeah, that'd probably be the highest profile match, I would say. I've had a few really high profile matches in Shimmer, which, thanks, Dave. probably the biggest crowd would be actually in Penticton, BC, small town in British Columbia. It was an NWA tour, and they brought in Cade and Murdoch and Kevin Nash It was kind of random for a Penticton, BC show. But, yeah, there was a really good crowd there. I think it was 1,200.
Wow.
So that's the biggest crowd I've ever worked on. It was me versus Veronica. It was a good match. It was fun. It was, yeah, I could definitely see myself working a big crowd like that again.
You know, that's one thing, you know, when you do independent wrestling, you do run into some of the legends. So that's really cool.
They were all super nice too. Like, yeah, they were very nice. Very down to earth.
Currently on your schedule, how many matches do you do, or how many shows do you work a month?
Well, in the past 6 months, I've been working a little more in my real life job, as I like to call it, the not fun job. So I haven't been working too full of a schedule. I probably wrestle twice a month right now. I try to train to make up for it. But, yeah, I'm not wrestling as much as I want to. It's a bit isolated here in the Pacific Northwest. BC kind of, especially female-wise, BC's where the best talent's at. There's really no point to me going to Washington too much. There's a few girls who wrestle there, but they're not really that greatly trained, I don't find. So it's not really worth the hassle to go down there. Calgary has some good girls there, so I can travel there sometimes, but I'm mostly stuck in BC when it comes to wrestling here.
With Calgary, have you ever passed through Lance Storm School?
I haven't, which I really should. I really want to. I was actually thinking about this fall, seeing if I could take a month off of real life and go to Calgary for a bit. Because I know a few people who live in Calgary, so like that wouldn't really be an issue staying there, I don't think. But, yeah, I would like to work with Storm for a bit. Like, he's super knowledgeable, and it seems like everyone else around here has but me, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah, I believe Tennille, the WWE developmental diva, actually came through Lance's school.
Yeah, she trained with Lance Storm.
Yep. Now, one thing I know you like, you're obviously into fitness, but you also like to eat. So how do you kind of balance that?
Sometimes I do a really poor job, and I have to work out harder the next week. Weekends kill me. I'm not going to lie. I try.
What's your weakness?
Oh, junk food, like chocolate. Chocolate and candy, that kind of stuff. I ice cream, especially in the summer. It's hard for me to stay away from the sugar.
Nicole has a sweet tooth.
Oh yeah, huge sweet tooth. It's really bad sometimes. I'm a little ashamed sometimes how much I eat sugar, but I try to make up for it by going to the gym as much as possible.
Well, you know, that's a clue. Any of those fans out there, if you want to get to Nicole's heart, bring her the chocolates.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. That'd be more tempting. Don't listen to him. Give me some egg whites or something. I don't know. Something healthy. Give me some protein bars.
That's not as cool to bring a box of chocolates to a show, right?
Protein bars. Box of protein bars. I'll appreciate that.
How about this? Flowers. Every girl likes flowers, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I'll kill them. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. I'll probably be like, thanks, and I'll squish them in my bag by mistake. It won't be on purpose. I'm just not very careful.
So what's your diet like? Are you a vegetarian or
no? You know, A lot of my friends are vegetarian, so I feel like I should be one, but I can't really. I have a hard time not eating meat.
That seems to be kind of growing, isn't it? With wrestling and like boxers, MMA, it's like vegetarian's kind of the in thing right now.
Yeah. I hope. I hope my meat eating ways won't kill me or anything. Like, I hope. But, no, I eat a lot of chicken. Like, chicken's the meat. I really like red meat, but I don't eat it that much. I save that. I eat a lot of chicken. I eat as much vegetables as I can. I eat yogurt. I've cut down on that a bit, though, because I feel like it bloats me a bit. So I don't eat as much of that anymore. It's easy for me to eat well when I'm working that day because I can pack my lunch the night before and blah, blah, blah. Again, it's the weekends that kill me when you're socializing and you want to go out for dinner or whatnot. So, yeah, I just basically try to eat smart. less carbs, more veggies sort of thing.
What is Nicole Matthews like away from the ring?
I'm not quite as bitchy as Nicole Matthews is in the ring. I do have my moments, though. I like to think of myself, I'm pretty blunt. I think people know what I think of them. I don't really hide my opinion. I don't really feel the need to. But I state my opinion. I stick up for my friends. I like to think I'm funny.
Are you kind of like a heel in real life? Is that why you like being a heel? Or are you like the opposite where, you know, some people like to be a heel because in their real life they're kind of quiet, shy, or?
No, I'm not quiet or shy. But I
kind of figured.
Yeah. I don't think I'm bitchy like I am in the ring in real life. I think I'm a pretty strong personality outside the ring still. I just amplify my personality tenfold. And what I like to think I do in the ring is half of it's amplify personality and half of it's traits that I hate in other people. And I try to put that in my character because I figure people hate those traits, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like in real life, I hate jealous people who are jealous for no reason. So I try to be jealous in my character. I hate petty people. So I try to be a little petty, if that makes sense. Yeah. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I'm not quite as awful of a human being outside the ring as I am in the ring.
What I know you talked about the Australia show in September. What else do you have coming up on your road schedule?
I have Shimmer in October. That's the main thing coming up right now. I have a lot of ECCW shows coming up in the fall as well. We have our big Halloween show later on that month. And and I have some pending dates that I can't really talk about quite yet, but hopefully they'll be announced pretty quick so everyone will know. I'll put it on my Twitter so everyone can keep up with me. And what do I have next? I don't think I'm wrestling till the end of the month, so I have a bit of a break right now, which is okay because I want to train. I want to get training a lot more before I go to Australia. I don't want to blow my Shimmer title shot because I was eating too much chocolate that fans are now sending me.
and it'd be all my fault, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'll blame you for my poor performance in Australia.
You know, the thing I was telling Nicole offline was, you know, I wanted to talk to Nicole before she goes to WWE and becomes a big star because we've talked to Beth Phoenix and we talked to Natalia before they became WWE divas. So, you know, I mean, we used to talk to Tracy Brooks all the time too. You know, and then obviously went on to be a TNA knockout. In fact, I think we were talking to her when she was in TNA even. So maybe, you know, even though I, you know, plug the chocolates, maybe I could be a good luck charm for you. And never know, maybe John Laurinaitis puts down the swimsuit catalog and maybe gives you a call.
Hey, I'm waiting on my phone, Johnny Ace. Come on, give me a call. Or I'll take one from Vince, too. I've been waiting for a few years now. I keep looking at my phone, but no one's called me.
That's hard to believe. Well, you know, you're only 24. You've been in it 5 years. So, you know, a couple more years, you know, never know.
You never know. Never say never.
Never say never. Okay. Oh, one more thing. Social media.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter, Facebook. Can you kind of plug those for the fans? And if somebody wants to get a hold of Nicole Matthews, how do they do it?
Twitter and Facebook's the best bet. Facebook, Nicole Matthews. I'm sometimes I'm bad about adding people, but I try to keep up with it.
That's the heel in you, right? You're like, I don't know about this.
No, it's the laziness in me. I'm like, oh, I'll accept it later. No, it's pretty awful, but I try to keep up with that. Anyone can be, I accept everyone as a friend on there. So feel free to try to add me on Twitter. My Twitter name is NMatthewsNinja, Nicole Matthews Ninja. And, I tweet there, tweet about my everyday life. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes I talk about coffee. So not quite as exciting, but just people get entertained by it. So, yeah,
sure.
Feel free to follow me on Twitter and send me a tweet.
And I think, you know, we also follow Portia, and she's always got thought-provoking tweets of the day, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, follow P. Perez Ninja, too. She's awesome.
Well, very cool. And we look forward to that. And you know, we look forward to another edition with Portia. And as we said, we can get the ninjas. Maybe we have to change the name to the Ninjas Podcast. That would be kind of interesting.
I think we should. That's probably, even when there's other guests on, even when it's me, nor if it's not me or Portia on the show.
Like if we could have one of the ninjas, then you can always have another guest, or of course you guys can tag team and be a part of the show. That would be awesome.
We'll just berate your guests with like stupid questions and insults the whole time.
Well, it's because that's the heels in you, right? Exactly. That's natural, right?
Exactly. We can't help it.
So if we brought on Sarah Del Rey or somebody from Shimmer.
I wouldn't just like Del Rey. Some people I feel confident I can handle myself against.
Depends on the guest, right?
It depends on the guest, for sure. If you get Amazing Kong or Sarah Del Rey, I'm not saying anything.
Now, you plugged Twitter and Facebook. Do you have an official website?
No, I don't. I'm pretty cheap, so those cost money. But one day I will have one, I swear. And when I do, I'll send a tweet about it. So follow me on Twitter.
Send her a tweet.
Or if you want to make me a website, you can follow, you can tweet me that too.
Hey, there you go. Rather than sending Nicole chocolates, need a webmaster out there that knows something about websites and create a website for Nicole.
That'd be great.
Because I know Portia has one, so why don't you have one? You know, so.
Well, she does her own. She's not lazy like me. I don't know how to work the internet, so I'm surprised I got the Skype thing working. Quite frankly.
Well, Nicole, we've really enjoyed it. This has been a fun interview, and we look forward to talking to you again somewhere down the line.
Yeah, sounds awesome. This was fun.